Well, good evening, everybody. You're going to need a Bible this evening, which is normal, but you will need one. We're going to work through a few passages during the course of the next few minutes, looking and chasing through a particular theme. And that theme is my hope and prayer for this evening will help us with our assurance. I think that's what we're taught in terms of the Bible. When we look at this theme, when we look at this role that Jesus played, that the end product, if you like, the end result for us, the thing that we should go away from here at the end of this evening is assurance, assurance in our Christian faith. And that's something that can wobble. That's something that a lot of people struggle with. Am I right with God? Am I really right with God? So my hope and prayer is that's what we'll gain. We'll take some steps forwards tonight in gaining assurance. The quality in terms of Jesus' life, the role in Jesus' life that we're going to look at together, is that of his role as a priest. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews. So we're starting off in Hebrews chapter 3. To begin with, and I forgot to put my bit of paper in the right place. So turn with me to page 1202 in the church Bibles. 1202. And we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, that's you. You might not always think that way. But if you've just taken communion, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, that's you. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Now, that's a good thing to do all the time. If you want help with that, the book of Hebrews is the best place to come. Somebody said that to me a long time ago. If you want to see Jesus, if you want to see him a bit more clearly, read through Hebrews, because it brings Jesus to life, particularly using the Old Testament for us, of who he is, what he's done. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. There's an assumption there, isn't there? If you're a Christian, you acknowledge Jesus as your high priest. And we're going to chase through that theme in this book to see what that means and why. Let's go back, first of all, to chapter 2, before we move our way forwards. Chapter 2 and verse 16. The writer to the Hebrews stresses that it was really important that Jesus became human. Jesus didn't come to save spiritual beings, angels. He came to save people. Verse 16, chapter 2. For surely it's not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. A priest, a mediator, a go-between. We read through the Old Testament, we see the priestly role, we see the need of that amongst the people, someone to act on the people's behalf before God. Someone set aside, qualified, ordained to act as that go-between. The people themselves couldn't come near God. And whenever any did get too close, they died. God is holy. So a priest was needed to act as that mediator, that go-between. Particularly to bring sacrifices on your behalf, particularly to make atonement for your sins. And under the old covenant, that happened once a year, the Day of Atonement, to be made right with God. Jesus, made fully human, verse 17, in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. And notice what it says next, verse 18. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus is made human to represent us, to be that faithful high priest. He's also, being human, able to sympathize with us. And that's where the writer goes in chapter 4. We're going to jump on to verse 14 of chapter 4. Page 1204. Chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus, he understands us. That's what this is saying, isn't it? He understands what it is to be human. He understands our weaknesses. He understands your weaknesses, your struggles. He was human too. He understands your temptations, the particular things that get you. He was tempted too, but he didn't sin. But he's merciful. He sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. And the writer says those things should give us confidence to draw near to God, verse 16. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When we struggle, when temptation is strong, in our weaknesses, that's not a time to run from God, to hide from God, but to run towards him because of Jesus, our high priest. The one who sympathizes with us. I'm going to jump a couple of chapters to chapter 7. The other factor with Jesus being our high priest is that he's always our high priest. He doesn't have a day off. His functioning in that role doesn't end. He lives forever. So verse 23 of chapter 7. Verse 23. Now there have been many of those priests, human priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office. So that somebody was appointed as high priest and they did it for their life, but then one day they would die and they'd need replacing. A new high priest was needed. So there were many. Verse 24. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Always. Jesus is always there before the Father interceding for us. That is brilliant and staggering, isn't it? He always lives to intercede for us. Every day, he is there. Verse 26, such a high priest truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He's always there. And with that sense of always there-ness, there's also, you have to hold this with it, and yet his work is complete, his work is done. So on to chapter 10 with me. There were bits of furniture in the tabernacle when God said, this is how the tabernacle's to be designed, this is what you're to put in it, this is where I'm going to live amongst the people, this is an area where only the priests can come into. There's a table, an altar, there's a lampstand, and there were no chairs. The priests could never sit down, because their work was never over. But look at Hebrews 10, verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. His work was done. He was the priest who could sit because his work was finished. One sacrifice. That's why we shared this meal, to remember that one sacrifice. Nothing else needs to happen. Nothing else needs to be done for us to be right with God, for you to be forgiven. So on the one hand, he's always there in heaven interceding for you, always before his Father. And on the other hand, he's sitting down because his work is done. Therefore, verse 19 of chapter 10. We sort of get to this, therefore, picking up this idea of Jesus as our high priest. The writer to the Hebrews is going to apply this to us. What difference should this make? And I was asked two questions by two different people today. One of the questions was, when did you decide to become a priest? Now, the person who asked me that question was quite young. And the conversation quickly moved on, and I wasn't able to fully get to the, well, there's a difference. I'm not actually a priest. It's not my title. It's not my office. I'm not a go-between between people and God in the same way that a priest is. And someone else asked me on the way out this morning, well, where are your robes? Which is the same kind of question, isn't it? Same kind of idea. And with that person, I was able just to begin to explain, well, there's a sense in which for us today, I'm not any different to any of you. I'm not set apart as a priest. I'm not made holy to act on your behalf before God. You don't have to come and confess your sins to me to be right with God. No, it's Jesus we go to. He's our priest. He's our great high priest. He's all the things we've just looked at. He's better. Therefore, verse 19 of chapter 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You see the assurance in there? We're going to look in a future communion service about Jesus, the sacrifice that comes up in these verses. But here particularly, Jesus, the great priest over the house of God, verse 21. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, since we have Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance, the full assurance that faith brings. He has done it. He understands you. He sympathizes with you. He knows you. He's perfect. He's interceding for you. He's there all the time. His work is done. He's sat down. Now, here's a question to think of. What's your yes but when it comes to assurance? Are you right with God? Here's all these reasons here. Jesus the priest. What's your yes but? Is it a sin? Well, he's made atonement for your sin. He sat down. If he hadn't, he wouldn't be sat down. He'd still be standing. His work would still be there to be done. But he sat down. If your yes but is a sin, you need to cross that out and rub it out and throw it away. His work is done. Is it a sense of not feeling good enough? Not feeling a good enough Christian? Well, if any of us were good enough, we wouldn't need a priest, would we? You need a priest when you're not good enough. You need that go-between. You need someone to act on your behalf, to make that sacrifice. And that's him. And he's done it. So if it's not feeling good enough, you need to cross that out. You need to rub that out. You need to throw that away. Because these words say he's done it. He's there interceding for you. Because you need him. So look to him. Rely on him. Lean on him. Trust him. Draw near to God. With a sincere heart. With all your weaknesses and struggles and questions, but looking to him. And with the full assurance that faith brings, as you look at him and see who he is and see what he's done, that's the assurance that faith brings. Jesus the High Priest. And trust him that he has done it.